In the topic of honoring parents, now we're extending to honoring in-laws, and I need to be careful. My father-in-law is here present, so I need to be careful what I say here. So honoring in-laws, the question becoming whether honoring in-laws is like honoring one's parents, and how far does it go? So it's very much connected to this week's Parsha's Yisrael. The pasuk says, "Vayetze Moshe lekras chosno," and Moshe went out to greet his father-in-law. Vayishachavu. Vayishaklo, he bowed down and he kissed him. Vayishalu ish l're'eyu l'shalom, and they greeted each other. Vayavohola, he went to brought him to the tent. So the Mechilta, the Rashi quotes part of this Medrash, but he doesn't quote it in its entirety. But the Mechilta here, number two, tells us Vayishach vayishaklo, that he bowed down, he kissed him. Eini yodeh mi shachav alami, o mi nashak lami. It's unclear who's bowing down to whom, who's kissing whom. So the Medrash explains, Kishu Omer, when it says, Vayishalu ish l're'eyu l'shalom, when the man greeted the friend, Mi kara ish, who is called man, who is called ish? Hala Moshe, is it not Moshe that's called ish? It says in the Pasuk, Vayish Moshe anav ma'od. That Moshe Beinu is very, very humble, he's called an ish. Havi Omer, so now we can plug this back in the Pasuk, so lo hishachave lo nashak ela Moshe l'chamav, who was bowing down to? Who was kissing who? It was none other than Moshe. He was the Ish L'Re'ehu. He was also the one who was Ish Vayishachavulo Vayishaklo. He was bowing down and kissing his father-in-law. Mikan Amru. From here we see the Medrash concludes, Sheyehei Ha'adam Muchan L'Chavod Chamif. A person should be prepared to honor his father-in-law. And the Shulchan Aruch records this L'Halacha. In Hilchos Kibud Av, he writes, Chayiv Adam L'Chabed Chamav. One has a requirement to honor his father-in-law. And the Taz writes further, he quotes an interesting raya that number four here, L'chabit Chamav, D'chziv Avi Ra'a Gam Ra'a. My father saw. Who is David Melch referring to when he called my father? David Amar L'Shaul, he's referring to Shaul, his father-in-law, Kein Shaya Chamav, and yet Karu Av Avi. He called him my father, my tati. He referred to him as his own father. And the Taz says, Hu Adin Chamosa. So the requirement to honor a father-in-law is the same to honor your mother-in-law. This applies across the board. This is brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Taz. So we have to understand, firstly, what's the scope, what type of honor is required to show a father-in-law, mother-in-law, and what's the nature of this. Is this really a source from David calling his father, his father-in-law, Avi, or is this just an asmachta ba'alma? So the Shach writes, number five, he quotes from the Bach. You find an interesting thing, actually, oftentimes the Taz was the son-in-law of the Bach. Oftentimes he'll quote his father-in-law, the Bach, and he'll argue a lot on his father-in-law, but he always quotes him as Mori Chami. There's a concept to call the father Mori Chami. We call a father Avi Mori, we call a father-in-law Mori Chami. It comes when you're benching in Birshus, you should say Birshus Mori Chami if the father-in-law is present. So you have such a concept of showing honor to one's father-in-law. So the Shach says here, quoting from the Bach, they learn that it's only the smachta, the concept of honoring a father-in-law. Bimiktsas l'kavod, you should have a little bit of kavod for your father-in-law. V'chayiv l'chabdo kimo shar zakenim chashuvim. It should be no different than honoring other old people. Not that it's like your parent, it's not like honoring your own father or your own mother. It's like honoring another old man who's walking down the street. That should be the same level of respect one should show their father-in-law. The Pischei Tshuva brings a raya for this, how we know that the honor that one shows the father-in-law is not a real chiv, because we have the following din. If you look at number 6 in the Pischei Tshuva, the Pischei Tshuva says, in reading just the bold, V'nir dezeh muchrach, this is a clear, midele'el si'if yudzayin, the lachad yudzayin, she'isha nesu p'tur. A woman who's pater, a woman who's married, rather, is pater from honoring her parents. If her husband tells her to do one thing and her parents tell her to do something else, she listens to her husband over her own parents. So the Pischei Tshuva says, wait a second. If the son-in-law is chayav to be mechabed his in-laws, so the wife should have to listen to her parents, because her husband also has to listen to her own parents. Dim lo kein, if the real requirement to honor one's in-laws was a real chayav, ha'isa chayavis, she would have to listen to her parents instead of her husband. Kevin Shigam Bai Lachai B'Chavod Avia, since her own husband is required to honor her father. Sharehu Chamav. And therefore, the Pesachei Tshuva concludes as a raya for the Shach that the requirement to honor an in-law is only like honoring Zakenim, but it's not a real chiv. Now, the Sefer, I wrote Sefer Chassidim, it should be the Sefer Charedim. The Sefer Charedim.
Why the father will be an old person?
Hmm?
No, I'm serious.
I didn't hear what you said. What?
Does it require that the father-in-law be an old person?
No. You're just equating it to. So if the father-in-law could be a 40-year-old, let's say, even though he's not a zakin, standing up for a zakin is the age of 60 or so. So the father-in-law could be 40, you should still show him the same honor you would show a 60-year-old. That's what it seems to be. He's equating those two. Yeah.
How come we don't start with the Ten Commandments? Isn't es the rabos?
No, the Gemara and Ksubas will do this a different topic. S is coming to include Achiv HaGadol, an older brother.
Didn't say about in-laws also?
No.
Someplace. No.
Someone misguided you, I think. But now, the Sefer Charedim, I couldn't find the exact Marmakum. The Sefer Charedim says the requirement to honor an in-law is actually a Din Daraisa. It's a Din Daraisa. They have some letters from the Gra. Where the Gra was writing, I think, to his son, that you should honor, fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of honoring your father-in-law. So there are some rayas that the requirement is deraisa, seemingly based on this medrash of Moshe and Yisro, and the fact that David HaMelech called his father-in-law Avi.
But to what degree? To honor?
We haven't gotten there yet.
Uh-oh.
So Torah Tamima writes in number 9. Torah Tamima makes a very interesting ha'ara. You look in the Rambam, you don't find anywhere the Rama mentioned the requirement to honor a father-in-law or mother-in-law. Nowhere mentioned at all. And he says, he quotes, if you look at just the bold in the Torah Tamima, this is in this week's Parsha again, Uberambam pergvav mimamrim, that's where he talks about all the halachas of honoring one's parents, grandparents, brothers. Lo huva klal dinze. He doesn't make any mention of honoring a father-in-law. Vizeteima. Shaloshin ha-mechelta, we just saw the mechelta above, mikan amru, Mashmad hu halacha brav yadua. The Medrash, the Mechilta clearly says this is a halacha. How come the Rambam doesn't mention it? He leaves it off as a tzarech in gadol. He doesn't know why. But just simply from the Rambam, it would indicate that there's not even a smachta to honor one of the in-laws. So the Torah Tmima's personal take was, if you look at the last two lines here, the bold, Torah Tmima felt, Sharei kan ksiv b'moshe. It says with respect to Moshe, Vayishachavu, he kissed him, he bowed down to him. Umikan lamdu l'chavod chasno, you should honor your father-in-law. Ubivadai ein mechuyavim b'shachavav neshik l'stam zakenim. He says, you don't bow down to a zaken, you don't kiss a zaken. So clearly, the level of honor one should bestow upon his father-in-law and mother-in-law should be very different than a stam zaken. So therefore, we have a big machlokas versus the Torah Tmima and Charedim on one hand, Sefer Charedim on one hand, that you have to show serious honor to one's in-laws, versus the Shach and the Shach and others, who say it's only an esmachta, and it's only as much as one would show a zakin. So how do we paskin? So one of the areas of honoring, we didn't discuss this last week, maybe we'll discuss a different point, but honoring after death. After death, there's a certain honor that one has to show parents. You have to respect parents after they passed away, certainly with Shiva and how one refers to them. So what about when one's father-in-law or mother-in-law passes away? Is there any element of avelus that a son-in-law has to show for the passing of the father-in-law and the or the mother-in-law? So if you look at the Gemara, number 10, Moed Katan Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Gemara says, Lo amru l'chavod isho ele l'chamav v'chamoso. When it talks about when a person's spouse is sitting Shiva, so you have to have some avelus with them. And the Gemara qualifies, it's only true if the spouse is sitting Shiva for a parent. And the quotes of Brisa, the Tanya, Misha meis chamav v'chamoso, a person whose father-in-law or mother-in-law passes away, eina rashai, so meaning that his wife now is sitting Shiva, you can't force your wife to put on makeup and to look pretty. You can't do that. What should one do? What should a son-in-law do? He should turn the bed around. He should practice with her avelus. So it sounds like from the Gemara, there's a certain element of avelus that a son-in-law must show when a father-in-law and mother-in-law pass away. That's the halacha. So when recording this halacha, if you take a look at the next page, number 12, the Torah quotes from his father, the Rush, V'ha'idna nagu lahakil ba'avela shal mis'ablin imahim. Nowadays, we're lenient with respect to the avelas one shows to a spouse who's sitting shiva. We're lenient with that halacha. V'somchen al zeh. Why? She'enu ela b'shvil chavod ha'avel. Why is there a halacha that one has to show avelas when a father-in-law or mother passes away? Is it because the son-in-law or father-in-law have a direct connection, there's a chiv of kavod, or it's because of kavod to the spouse? Out of respect for the spouse, you show some level of avelas, but not because of a direct connection to the father-in-law or their mother-in-law. So the Rush says, the only reason why one shows avelas for the father-in-law or mother-in-law, it's only because out of respect for the wife. But Bizman Hazeh, but it could be empathy, but Bizman Hazeh, he says, if the Avel wants to be Mochel, B'davar, then she can be Mochel, the husband. And he writes further, Im Ratza Avel Limchel HaKvodo, if the Avel, the spouse, says, don't worry about it, I'm Mochel, B'davar, Ein Tzarech L'Hazeh, this Abimov, there's no requirement to do Avelis. If, let's say, Ruvain is sitting Shiva for Yaakov, his father. There's no Inin of Mechila for Shiva. You have sometimes terrible cases where a child has no relationship with the father or the mother. But there's still a din of sitting Shiva. You have to keep the halachas of Shiva, even though they might hate the father. But there's still a din of Shiva. Now, you may not want to publicize it. You don't want people to come be Menachem Avo, have to start talking about the father that you hate. But there still is a requirement of Avelis. There's no Mechila by Avelis. So how come Mechila works here? Because the son-in-law isn't chayvin Avelis for himself. It's because showing respect, empathy for the spouse. If the spouse is Mochel B'davar, don't worry, go to work, go take a shower, take an haircut, then she's allowed to be Mochel. So the Rush finishes one line. Then the Rush says, nowadays, kol ha'avelim nogin limchel akvodim. Every avel is mochel on their spouse, not to be noag any avelis. V'lachein nogul haka. Therefore, we're lenient. And the Ramah brings to halacha, those who do sit shiva for a father or mother-in-law, they're min ha'matimim. We're very confused why they would do such a thing. We're mochel b'davar. We don't. We assume doesn't exist.
There's no ripping. There's
no, exactly. We paskin. Nothing exists at all. Even if it were to exist, even according to that opinion, we don't do kriya. I don't remember which halachas we apply. It's very limited. But either way, it's not practiced l'zman hazeh. And now the reason why this is relevant is because one could perhaps suggest that just like avelis, the requirement of avelis is only vis-a-vis the wife, yeah, not your direct connection. So too with the requirement of honoring one's father and mother. It's not because your relationship with them, it's because vis-a-vis the wife, and therefore it's very limited.
Yeah, but on a practical level also, it's typically the spouse that takes care of the avel in all the things. So if the spouse were to, on a practical level, the spouse was sitting shiva also, let's say, then somebody else would have to take care of anything.
Hey, yeah, that doesn't seem to be the reason, though. Yeah, we figure out.
On a practical level, that's the outcome, is that,
no, but you have a situation where both if a child of Lolenu passes away, then they're both sitting shiva. You have instances where that both happens.
No element of Hakar Satov at all?
No, there is an element of Hakar Satov, but the question is, we spoke about last week, according to the Chinuch, the requirement to honor a parent is Hakar Satov. They brought you to the world, that itself is enough. Whether they raised you or supported you, hopefully that happened as well, but that deserves Hakar Satov. So you have Hakar Satov for friends. But it doesn't mean you have to honor them in a formal way like a parent. So certainly there's a karsa tov. We're not saying to disrespect and degrade them. But we're just trying to know in halacha, and we'll see why this is relevant, what your requirement is in halacha, because sometimes there's a clash. And what's your obligation? to your parents, you're very limited what you could say and do to your parents. If the in-law requirement is a much lower level, there's a lot more you could work around with here. Now, api halacha, there is a concept, however, even though there's no real requirement to be noag avelis for an in-law, if let's say a person passes away, a father-in-law passes away without any sons, only has daughters. So then there is an inyan that the son-in-law should be saying kaddish for the father-in-law. So we have an instance where the covenant exists and he comes before someone else. So there certainly is a relationship that comes to the halacha.
That's only assuming he doesn't have parents, right?
You have to ask rishus from the parents if that would be irrelevant. You're allowed to. If sometimes parents get very, scary, heebie-jeebies about saying Kaddish. So if the parent says, listen, I think it's a covered for your father-in-law, I think it's a good thing to do. So then for them, Mochel B'davar, you're allowed to. Now, Pialacha, it's all depending on the preference of the parents that are alive. Any questions? Yeah, okay. So take a look now, number 14, which Rav Avadi Yosef, which lays out the sugya in a very, very nice way. He asks the question at the beginning of number 14 here. Shayla, the question, a very straightforward question. In mitzvah al ha'adam l'chabed eschamav, kidin kibud av mamish, is the requirement to honor a father-in-law like honoring a father, one's own father? This is where we're going to get into, or perhaps it's very limited, simply to stand up for the father-in-law. That's all it applies to. So, Yechav Adas explained, we're going to just read the bold for now. He says, Mikol Makom, he raises a chakira. He brings all the proofs that we had, that Moshe showed respect for Yisrael, and the Medrash says you have to honor a father-in-law, and that David HaMelech called his father-in-law Avi. Mikol Makom, he writes in the bold here in the first paragraph, Mimashalo Amarlo Malki, why didn't he call Shaul my king? Ella Avi, my father. Muchach, it's clear from here, Shumitam Sheishto Kigufo, that his wife is like himself, and therefore, Chai Bechavod Chamav Bechavod Aviv. The husband and wife, they're a unit, they're together. So now, it's as if it's his own father, it's Mamish, his own father, because you view the wife as being part and parcel of the husband. And that's one extreme, and therefore all the halachas of honoring a parent should equally apply to honoring a father-in-law. The other tzad, however, says in the next paragraph, Kosova Beis Chadash, the Bach. The Beis Chadash writes, Sheyesh ledayik miloshen ha-tur shekosov. We have to learn from the language of the Torah. He says, Chayv adam b'chavod achiv ha-gadol k'chavod aviv. When the Torah lays out the requirement to honor an older brother, which we haven't gone to just yet, he equates it to honoring a father. So it says, when you honor your older brother, treat him like your own father. But when he records halacha of acharkach, afterwards, kasev v'chayv l'chabid chamav, you should honor your father-in-law, and he quotes the pasuk, shenemar v'avi ra gam ra, I saw my father, below kasev l'gami chamav, he doesn't write, when you honor your father-in-law, it should be chayv l'chabdo kechavod aviv. He doesn't equate it. Only regarding honoring a brother, does it say like your own father, but honoring a father-in-law is not equated to honoring one's father. And Muchach, it's clear from here, writes the Bach, She'enu chayv l'chabdo ka'aviv mamish. You don't have to really treat your father-in-law like your own father. El l'chabdo b'kima v'hidu b'vad, to stand up and show a little hider, a little bounce, one of those bounce maybe. K'derach she'mechabdi says a kenim, like you honor older people. So then he writes at the end of this paragraph, V'teim olav. She'rei b'mechilta, it's hard to say this, the mechilta we saw, remember, the Torah Tamima said, how do you know you have to honor your father-in-law? Because the Mechilta says, Moshe honored Yisrael. So the Yechav Adas says, but the Mechilta never says it's a chiv. If you look at the language, it didn't say chayiv l'chabed chamav. It says, sheyeh adam muchan l'chabed chamav, which means you should be prepared. But not that you're obligated to honor the father-in-law. And he says further, V'gam hishachav v'anashika, bowing and kissing, ainu mitzad chiyuv. We never find in halacha you have to bow to your father, to kiss your father, doesn't exist. So the whole medrash is a very sweet relationship between Moshe and Yisrael. But that's not about a chiyuv at all. It's minag derech eretz. And therefore the Yechav Adas paskins, l'chein ikr k'divrei habayis chadash. He paskins like the Bach, that there is no formal obligation to honor a father-in-law, simply to stand up, just like one would stand up for an older man.
What do we do with the gufo? Nothing?
That's just a tzad. Many times we have machlokas, we have a chakira, and that's one very interesting tzad to say it. But in the end of the day, that's not how we assume when it comes to the halachas of honoring a parent. Now again, it's not to say one shouldn't show hakar satov, and certainly one should not disgrace and degrade a father-in-law or mother-in-law, but in terms of the strict halacha, it's just simply like honoring an older man. Take a look at the last paragraph we'll read together in the Sikkum, the summary of Rav Avadia here. He writes, Chayv adam l'chabed eschamav b'kima v'hider. He says, he brought tshuva before discussing about standing up for a father-in-law, so now he just puts everything together. A person is required to stand up to show honor for the father-in-law when he walks in the room. When he comes within Dal Amos. So if you're in that corner, he walks into that corner, you don't have to stand up. But if he comes within your Dal Amos, you should stand up and show him honor. Just like Kemoshim Echabed, Lezekenim Chashuvim, if a Chashuv Azakim would walk over to you, you should stand up as well. Aval eino chayv lechabdo kechavid aviv, paskins Rav Avadia. You don't have to show him real honor like your own father.
The father is anywhere in the room?
Correct. V'nei shnogin gam kein lenashek yedei chama v'derech kavod v'yakar. A person should also kiss the hand of the father-in-law. This is probably more accepted amongst the Svardim. The Svardim kiss the hands of the Rav and other Chasha people. This doesn't seem to be the practice amongst the Ashkenazim, but that's what the Rav Avadia says. You should kiss the hand of the father-in-law. V'chein ro'i lasso, this is a very appropriate to do. U'bifrat, in particular, kishachamav hu ben Torah, who by ma'asim tovim, if he's a learned individual, if he's a person who's involved in mitzvahs and chesed, one should also show respect to a mother-in-law like as much as she deserves. And he says the flip side as well. Keep going down a few lines. It says, the woman, the wife, has to also respect her father-in-law and mother-in-law in her capability. And then at the end of the line, there's a fascinating drasha he has here. Kabed es avicha v'simecha, and you're talking about Aseres HaDibros before, maybe that's what you're referring to, Mati, I don't know. But Kabed es avicha v'samech le'lo tinaf, we're going to learn this week's Parsha, in Parsha Yisro, to honor one's parents, and the very next Isser, the next one of the Dibros is lo tinaf, not to the Isser of adultery. L'amedcha, to teach you, if you get married, you don't honor her parents. Leisik nasim when they're older, harehu keilu noef kol yamov. It's considered like being noef the entire life. Wow, that's is adultery. Adultery. If one does not honor his in-laws, it's like adultery, says the Elia Rabba. Pretty extreme. Okay. So now sometimes there is friction, sometimes there's tension, sometimes decisions have to be made. You know, I'm not an expert at all in Shalom Bayis, but a couple months ago I had asked two of my rabbi friends who are involved very much in Shalom Bayis, and I asked them, curious to know what they felt were the top three biggest issues that Chasson Kala is dealing with. So between the two of them, I'm going to list four. So the four in no order. Now, some of you might experience all of them. Some of you may not experience any of them. Maybe there's some combinations. Maybe there's just a different hierarchy. But the four that they put together was questions of how to use money properly. You know, how much to raise the AC or raise the heat. That's always a fight in the house, saving money. Number two is intimacy. Number three is communication. And number four is dealing with the in-laws, other families. So these are the top four based on these two Rebbeim who deal regularly with Shalom Bayis. So what? Sometimes there's friction. So how do you deal with moments of friction? How far does the obligation go? So again, every case is different. I'm going to just give a few examples we have in the Mar Makomos to what to think about and how to apply it in various instances. So if you look in Aruch HaShulchan, number 15. There is a requirement when it comes to one's own parents to help support if there's a need. You don't have it in front of you. I know. So I'll just read it for you guys. There is an obligation that one has to use their own money. We'll get to this a different week. One's own money to help support and honor parents. That does not extend itself to in-laws. Halacha, we paskin. All one has to do for the in-laws is to stand up for them. We said not to degrade, not to disgrace. But the chiyuv is only to stand up and show a little kavod when they walk within Dal Amos. Financially, there is no requirement. But the Aruch HaShulchan writes nonetheless, the yearly appears to me, dim ein la'av v'gam ein lo banim, shiyazunu oso. Let's say the father has no means to support himself. Whether it's just to get food on the table, or if there's a need to send to a nursing home if the call, and the children he has, children have no means to support. V'chasna hu asher, and the son-in-law is a very wealthy guy. So the din is, says Aruch HaShulchan, we're kofen oso lazono b'maos tzedakah shelo. We force the son-in-law to support the father-in-law if he has. Even though there's no real chiv to financially, there's no financial obligation of honoring a father-in-law, mother-in-law, the Aruch HaShulchan felt that one has the right, the bezin has the right to force him to do so. Why? Sharei lo gara mikrovo. There's a din in Hilchot Tzedakah in general. If a person has a relative who needs money, we force him to give tzedakah. So it's not really a din of honoring a father-in-law. It's a din of a relative giving tzedakah to a relative. A father-in-law can't be any different than a distant cousin. And for that reason, we would enforce a person to support the father-in-law. There's an incredible Ramah. You don't have this in front of you. I'll read it for you. An incredible Ramah. Unfortunately, happens all too often when there's a certain deal that was made, a boy and girl getting married, and the kala's father promises a certain amount of money, or pay for this amount in the wedding, or support in kolel, or support in the business, and then the father-in-law, the father of the kala, backs out of supporting anything. So what do you do in such a situation? So the Rama writes, Misha paskul mamon harbe l'shaduchen. A guy promises a lot of money to support the family, and v'chazu b'hem, and then the wife's parents retract. They pull out of the deal. Lo ya'agen kalaso mishumza. The chasan should not say, I'm not marrying her. You know, let's say it's a situation where they were engaged, or there was a kedushin, and he refused to get married until he gets the money that he was promised. There are ma'paskins. Lo ya'agen kalaso mishumza. This should not be grounds for leaving her as an aguna. Don't fight because you're promised some money. Now you're not getting it. Don't cause that any fights because of that. One who caused, not of course encouraging the wife's parents to pull out of such a deal. But if that were to happen, the chasnu said, I won't get married until I get the money. It's not going to be successful. The relationship, the marriage won't be a good one. The money a person gets for marrying a woman, eino mamon shayosha, is not yashrus. It's not money that comes in a straight way. There's some sheker involved in there. To marry someone because of the wealth, to marry someone because the father-in-law has got money. V'chola osei kein, those who marry because of this, mikrei nosei isha l'shei mamon. He's marrying a wife not because he loves her, because he wants money. Ela komash yitein lo chama v'chamosa, whatever the father-in-law mother want to give, yikach bain tov, you should take it with happy open arms, v'az etzliach, and then you have a tzlacha. It should never be about marriage. So sometimes there's fighting about money, it should never be about the money. If it will be, there will be no atzlacha in the relationship.
Isn't there some kind of simple pshat about the husband and wife are sharing a bank account, and the husband and wife share money, and the wife says to the husband, this is our money, and I need to send it to my mother?
That's a different topic. Let's talk about a different time.
It doesn't obligate him to give to his...
So let's...
It doesn't obligate him?
Not necessarily, no.
It's the gufo thing right. Again. We're kind of ignoring the gufo.
So there's a discussion, who owns the money? Typically the husband owns the money, but if the husband, the Hilchot Tzedakah talks about, if the husband gives her permission to use the money, then she's allowed to. Nowadays, every wife has a credit card, uses the money more than the husband uses the money, so there's an implicit mechila that she's allowed to use the money how she pleases. That's Hilchot Tzedakah, very much so. So one last point here, that obviously, one should, of course, honor their in-laws, but a person has to use seichel as well, how far are you willing to go? So I'll just finish off with one fascinating Gemara, which I think is only coming to prove one point here. So the Gemara in Shabbos in Daf Chavavim and Aleph, it's talking about Bamem Alikin and the different oils used for Shabbos and Eretz Chanukah. And they're just like a story that was here. It kind of comes and leaves and doesn't explain why it's here other than having to do with oil. So the Gemara says, Hahu Chamasa, there was a certain mother-in-law, Tavesani Alei Lakalasa, that hated her daughter-in-law. They had a terrible relationship. I once heard the reason why oftentimes mother-in-laws, daughter-in-laws don't have good relationships is because we don't find by the avos ever that the mother-in-law ever met the daughter-in-law. I mean, Sarah never met Rivka. Sarah died before Rivka came into the picture. And then Yaakov went to marry Rachel and Leah. Rivka was a different place, different country. So they never met each other. So since by the avos, the mother-in-laws never met their daughter-in-laws, there's never a good relationship. Okay. So this is an example in the Gemara and Shabbos that the mother-in-law hated the daughter-in-law. Sanilei lekalasa. Amrilei. So the mother-in-law, what did she tell her daughter-in-law to do? Zil ikashe b'mashcha da parsima. Go douse yourself in oil, this type of oil. Okay? So she wanted to build a nice relationship with her mother-in-law. So azli ikashe. So she did. She poured oil all over herself. And then the mother-in-law said, kiasa. So she said, I did that. I'm all ready. Amrilei, so she says, the mother-in-law says to her, okay, zil islay shraga, go light a match. So Azla asa shraga, she lit a match, inpach, the daughter-in-law blew up, and Valcha ate her. So that was that's the Gemara. And the Gemara goes on to talk about another topic. So the only understanding I could have here, the two lessons here, one is the relationship between a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law oftentimes are very, very weak, and one should work on that. Number two is, if your mother-in-law tells you to do something that's stupid, don't do it. So we'll stop here. I'm not sure what we'll do next week. Maybe we'll discuss next week the brothers, their honoring brothers or maybe grandparents, and we'll continue on this topic for the next few weeks.